Welcome to the Elementary Librarian Podcast, where we discuss simple tips and tricks to help you take your school library to the next level. And now your host, Jocelyn Sam.
Welcome, Elementary Librarian listeners. Today I am interviewing Sedley Abercrombie, and she was recommended to me by a listener. And remember that if you know of any amazing librarians that you would like to hear on the Elementary Librarian Podcast, I would love to know about it. If you just visit me at elementarylibrarian.com/podcast guest, you can recommend that person to be on the show. Welcome, Sedley. I'm so glad to have you today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is great. I am really excited to talk to you today. We are talking about the Global Read Aloud, and I had actually never heard of the Global Read Aloud until I began talking with Sedley a little bit. And first of all, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you are, and how you became a librarian? Anything else you'd like the listeners to know?
Well, I live in rural North Carolina. I actually teach in Thomasville at an elementary school. This is actually my 8th year in public schools. I came into education a little bit late in life. You know, things happened. After college, I had other things going on, and I had wanted to become a teacher, and I started my master's in education in my 20s, and then soon after, I had my first baby, and then, you know, I ended up staying home with my children for a while. So I actually got into education 8 years ago. And this is my 5th year as a media coordinator.
Okay, great. I'm actually one of those people also who got into education a little bit later in life. I spent 5 years working in sales and marketing, and I decided, this is not for me. So I just started thinking about things I'd like to do, and reading is just a love of mine, and so that's how I became a librarian.
Well, you know, becoming a librarian, I think, is something that I always wanted to do, because I was one of those kids, you know, in elementary school that went to the library before school, after school, during lunchtime, during recess. I was there every day. And, and I was one of those kids that, you know, my mom couldn't buy me all the books at the book fair. So, I was a regular there, and the few books that I did have in my room, I actually put spine labels on and made, the old fashioned card pockets and things. I think I used envelopes and so forth. So I think maybe that was a clue early on that that's what my destiny was.
Yeah, definitely. You think about, you know, doing that now. I don't know about for you, but for me, that's such a chore, putting labels on books. But for a kid, I'm sure
yes.
It's really fun.
Yes. Playing school, you know, a lot of kids played school. Well, I played librarian.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I can't say I ever put spine labels on my books, but I did love to read, and I also was a big library person growing up. So to our topic that we're talking about today, can you tell us a little bit about the Global Read Aloud? How did you learn about it? How did you become involved in it?
Well, you know, I'm just one of the many teachers that got involved, quite by accident, really. I was on Twitter. I don't know if you're... I know you're on Twitter, but that I really reserve my Twitter for professional development. You know, all the people that I follow are library, school, book related. And someone sort of reached out to me and said, hey, you know, are you interested in doing the Global Read Aloud? I'm looking for somebody to collaborate with. And it was Karen Sekaguchi. She is from Massachusetts, and, she sent me a private message and said, you know, hey, this is, you know, I'm looking for someone to work with. And so I Googled it, Global Read Aloud, and I thought, well, you know, this sounds interesting. I had not seen anything like, I'd not heard about it before, but I believe this was the 4th year. And if you go to, globalreadaloud.com, there's also a wiki space, globalreadaloud.wikispaces.com. And you can find out a little bit more about it. Well, there was this little video on there, and a couple of years ago, they had, I believe, 30 classrooms that worked together. The next year it was 200. The next year it was 30,000 kids. And I was looking at the numbers this morning. This past year, it started September 30th and it ran through November 8th, 140,000 students participated in the Global Read Aloud this year. And I mean, it's growing exponentially, and it's something that I didn't know anything really about when it started, but it just sounded exciting, and it turned into so much more. And I can see, and I only had one teacher that was interested, but I think next year they're going to be clamoring to do the global read aloud. It was so much fun.
Yeah, that's great. I looked into it just a little bit this morning, you know, preparing for our call, and it seems like it's just really getting bigger and bigger each time. And so we talk a lot about collaboration in the world of librarians, and how, I'm sure a lot of people out there are wondering, how did you get this teacher on board?
Well, the precedent behind the Global Read Aloud is One Book Connecting the World. And what happens is these 140,000 students, their teachers agreed to read one particular book. It was Out of My Mind by Sharon Draper. I knew that was a really good book, and I knew that my fifth grade teachers have to read aloud, you know, so many minutes per day anyway. So it wasn't going to be anything extra for them to do. And so I looked into it a little bit, and I sort of, you know, threw the bait out there. And we have three fifth grade teachers. I got one no answer. I got one thanks but no. And then I've got another one that was, hey, that sounds a little bit interesting. Why don't you tell me more about it? And that's how it started. And so I said, so in order to make it work, what I did was I provided her with the book. I provided her with the 6 weeks, you know, which pages. There was sort of like a schedule. You had to read these pages to these pages each week, and discussion questions. I made it easy for her. And I set out behind the scenes and made the other things happen. So it wasn't anything extra that she had to do.
Okay, so that's sort of how you sold it to her. You know, I'll take
right.
care of everything.
I will take care of everything. All you have to do is provide the kids and read aloud, which is something that you do anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I always encourage my teachers to read out loud, even in the upper grades, because they also need to hear that fluent reading. So, okay, awesome. So tell us a little bit about, what does the program consist of? Are there any particular requirements, or can you kind of go your own way? What are the technology requirements of people out there interested in maybe looking into this? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's absolutely free. It doesn't cost anything. Pernille Rip is the librarian who began Global Read Aloud. And I don't even believe that she makes any money off of this. I'm not sure. But there's no cost to join. And you can do as little or as much as that as you want. What we did was we did Skype, and we did blog. We did Edmodo. So, of course, we had all those technology requirements. You know, computer, internet, webcam, so forth. But that's all stuff that we had already. But, you know, if you don't have all that, you can certainly just read the book aloud and participate that way.
Okay. And as far as the blogging, is that something on your school website that you already had the capability of doing?
We had the capability of, through our website developer, we had sort of a blogging capability there. There were other classrooms I saw that did something called Kids Blog. That is not a website that was endorsed by our county, so I kind of stayed away from it. But it looked really interesting, and I did, you know, jump into other people's blogs and saw how fun it was. It might be something that I'll try and introduce next year, but I did stick with things that were endorsed by our county, such as Edmodo.
Right. I know that a lot of the newer websites, you know, if you buy into one of the package websites, I know that a lot of those do have the blogging capability now. So probably if you look into your school's website, you probably will have that capability depending on what they use.
And our school website blog was real easy to use. The interface was pretty bland, but it was, you know, it was our first step in. And then when we got in there, you know, and the teacher was kind of intimidated at first. So I didn't want to push too hard. You know, we did a little bit each time. And I said, well, look, I sort of set up this blog. And, you know, and all the kids participated in the blog. And I said, well, how do you feel about Edmodo? You know, well, I don't know. I don't really have the time and so forth. So what I did was I went behind the scenes and I created the accounts for all the kids and I set up the classroom and I invited school administrators, some county level people. And of course, you know, I created accounts for all the kids in the class and I made it easy for the teacher. So all she basically had to do was show up. And Edmodo turned out to be awesome, because not only were our students involved in the group, but other classrooms that we met through Skype joined onto our Edmodo group too. So our students were able to make those connections globally.
Yeah, and I bet the kids just latched right onto it.
It was so exciting because of the three fifth grade classes, this one is the most challenging. This group is probably the class that is harder to engage. You know, a few discipline problems and so forth. So it was a bit scary on our end, but let me tell you, there was not. Those kids hung on to every word when that teacher was reading that book. And when we were involved in Edmodo and Skyping, those kids were just so excited. And I know that this past week, the classroom teachers had conferences with parents, and almost every parent that sat down with a conference with that teacher had heard so much about the global read-aloud from their student. You know, it wasn't anything that we really heavily communicated with parents. We sent the Edmodo letter home and let them know what we were doing. But those kids went home every night and they were telling their families about what an awesome project this was. And that was something that we never anticipated.
Yes. And I bet that probably it was students who maybe never talk about school at home. So their parents were probably a little surprised.
Exactly. I mean, they, in this class that you do have a number of students who struggle to read and struggle to write, but they were able to participate and they were actively engaged. And it was really such a great experience.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love how educational technology, it just brings everybody together. I mean, I don't know, I can't talk about it enough. I just get really, really excited about educational technology and just the possibilities of learning in this century. So, all right, so we've talked about what the program is and what are the requirements. Is there like a teacher guide or something that's on the Wiki Spaces or on the website that sort of tells you what to do? Are there any activities that go along with the reading?
There is. If you go on to they actually have this year they had four different level books. They had an Eric Carle book for like K-1, Marty McGuire 2-3, Out of My Mind was more of your upper, your middle grade books, and they actually had a young adult book for upper middle school, high school students. And when you join on, you join on through a Google Doc, and there's a lot of teacher guides, there's calendars, there's ideas, there's Edmodo groups and so forth. And it just sort of blew up, really. I just sort of nibbled at it. And it turned into so much more. It just sort of took on a life of its own. And by the end of the global read aloud, at the end of the session, we actually had to turn down Skyping offers because we were just out of time. So it was just if we wanted to, we could have Skyped with another class every single day of the week.
And what do those sessions generally consist of? Like when you get on Skype with another group, what do you guys usually talk about?
Well, I organize those behind the scenes, and a lot of times it was myself and another media coordinator. A couple of times, it was mostly myself and the media coordinator that organized that. But we sort of got together. We were reading the same chapters the same week, and we pulled a few questions from the discussion guide. Sometimes the kids came up with their own questions, and it was like a book club when you sit around and just chat about the book. And the kids, you know, it was picture to picture, so they were able to see each other, and they asked each other questions. And it was really neat because here we are in North Carolina. The first group that we Skyped with was in Massachusetts. The next group was in Canada, and that was really interesting. You know, we talked a little bit about, you know, where we lived, a little bit about the climate, the language, you know, how things were different here. They asked us what was, what sports were popular here in North Carolina, and they asked what sort of things were popular there in Canada. So not only was it a discussion about the book, but it was that global awareness that we really want kids to have.
Yeah, that is just so awesome. I mean, anybody who's listened to my last podcast knows that I'm kind of obsessed with other cultures and other places. So I would be just all for it. So I think that is really great. So you touched on this a little bit, but how do you think that the participation in the Global Read Aloud has benefited your students? What do you think they're learning? And do you think that this event has made more of an impact on student learning than like the traditional novel reading activities?
Well, the book was really good too. And I've not really talked much about the book in our conversation, but the book was Out of My Mind by Sharon Draper. And if you've not read the book, Melody is the central character, and Melody is severely handicapped, and she can't talk, she can't walk, she can't feed herself, but inside she's extremely smart. But the thing is, she can't communicate that with anyone. Nobody knows, and the book is told from Melody's point of view. So, not only was it the cool global connections that we made and all the technology that we got to use, but the kids, the book was very empathetic, and it, the kids were able to learn, they were able to learn, what it's like to be handicapped, to, the struggles that Melody had. They were able to become her friend, really. I mean, they could not wait every day until they got to read the next chapter.
And that's what I love about books. They sort of just bring everybody together. I mean, I don't know. I love reading out loud to students. It's one of my very favorite things. So.
And in the book, things didn't, it was a real struggle for her. And in the beginning of the book, she could not communicate. But as the book goes on, different things happen and she gets a communication board and she's able to communicate with her parents. And it opened up a whole new world for her. And, the Melody was able to go, she was able to be included in some inclusion classes, and she was participating in a quiz bowl, but it opened up a whole new world for her. Melody still had struggles with other kids her age. And, I think the kids in the class, were able to see, they were able to feel for Melody, and there was a whole bullying component, and, that's something that we really try and stress nowadays in schools. It was just a wonderful book. It was really a great book. And that's what made the experience great too.
Yeah, right. So have you gotten confirmation from the teacher that she would like to do this again? Are other teachers starting to want to come on board?
Oh, yes. It was, this won't happen again until next fall, but, she absolutely said, sign me up. It was just, I sort of brought it up when we were at our school improvement team. And I said, well, Miss Miller and I are working on this Global Read Aloud. Miss Miller, will you tell us a little bit about it? And I let her have the stage, and she was able to, communicate what an awesome experience it was. And every grade level after that said, hey, I think I want to do that next year. So I'm hoping next year that we will have, I'm pretty certain that we will have a lot more participation.
Yeah, that is great. Do the teachers get to collaborate in any way? I know there's the wiki spaces, and you can probably add things to that. Is there any type of formal collaboration that goes on with the teachers who participate in the Global Read Aloud? Is there a Twitter feed, anything like that?
The Twitter feed was a bit dodgy, but there was an Edmodo group, and I was in a teacher's for our particular book, Out of My Mind, I was in a teacher's group for that. There were 1,300 teachers in that Edmodo group. And it started off slow in the beginning, I think, because for most of us, it was a new experience. But towards the end, and I just threw it out there. You know, I said, hey, I'm available Eastern Standard Time from this time to this time tomorrow. Anybody interested in Skyping? And, you know, within an hour, I had somebody that was available. And it was just, it was neat. It was just, it took on a life of its own.
Yeah, it's so great that now we don't have to work only with people in our building. You know, we can just work with people all over the world. And I think that's just so cool about what we do.
It was great. We did, the first Skyping we did was Massachusetts. The second one was Canada. The third one was California. And that was a mystery Skype. That was the request by that teacher. And that was a little bit different. You know, it was, we were getting ready to go to lunch and those kids had just arrived at school. And, she proposed a mystery Skype. She had this sort of, outline and, you know, where the kids asked each other questions, and she had her kids in the background. They had iPads in the back. And as they were asking us questions, you know, they were looking up stuff on their iPad, trying to guess where we were. And, of course I knew where the students were, and the librarian on that end knew where we were. We knew the answers, but, and I thought that was really interesting. We weren't really prepared for that. We didn't have any devices laid out for the kids to look up stuff, but, it was something that they had done before. And so we spent, you know, 5 or 10 minutes doing the mystery Skype and investigating, different things like names of colleges and mountain ranges and so forth. And, you know, in 6 or 7 questions, we were able to guess their location and vice versa.
I love that so much because, you know, that incorporates research skills. I don't know. It's just awesome.
It's authentic learning. You know, it was great. It was great. It was great seeing those kids. There was one school that was a bring your own device school. And so while we were talking, the kids were on their iPads and their iPods, looking up different information. The fourth school that we actually Skyped was again in Massachusetts, but completely unrelated to the first school. So that was just a coincidence. But it was really great. It really was.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. So, you know, along those lines, I know that there are a lot of districts out there, including the one that I work for recently, and anyway, that they don't allow their students or teachers to use Skype. What might you say to them if somebody was listening to this?
Well, I wouldn't say Skype is something that we did in the media center. And that's something that has not really been heavily implemented in our district. And I don't think at this time it's something that they're ready to let loose across the county. You know, I've got the ability to override, and I did get permission before I did that. But, you know, I was very careful and test Skyped before, you know, I met with the teachers. But I don't know. I mean, it could be scary. It could be scary if you just sort of let people loose with Skype, I guess. But I think if we get a little bit of experience, then I don't see why everybody couldn't do it. But, you know, on the other hand, once we started Skyping with this one, I think the first class or so forth, then suddenly on Twitter, you know, there was an author that wanted to Skype with us. And then third grade came to me and said, hey, we want to Skype with some veterans and for Veterans Day. And it turned into something completely different. And we ended up not Skyping the veteran. We ended up FaceTiming him. And that's something you don't even need the software for. If you've got an iPad, I mean, you can just, I mean, I don't know. In our county, it's not blocked. But that was a terrific experience, completely unrelated to the Global Read Aloud, except for they heard the buzz and said, hey, can we do something cool too? And so we FaceTimed. It was the brother-in-law of the assistant principal. And so when we FaceTimed him, we had the iPad set up so he could see our students, and we were FaceTiming him, and he was sitting in his car looking at his iPhone. So, but that was neat. And that's how, and the Global Read Aloud, you know, this is my second year at this school. So I'm still, my whole first year, I was just getting to know people and sort of setting up the library the way I liked it. And, you know, just building relationships. But this year, I'm really starting to branch out and make a name for myself, I think. And the Global Read Aloud has really given me a lot of street cred, if that makes sense. And so, you know, the buzz was all around the school. It was on the website. You know, the kids were talking about it. You know, it was mentioned at the school improvement team, and the teachers were talking about it. And it has really spawned so many other projects. I mean, we've had since the Global Read Aloud started, we had an author visit come. We Skyped an author, and we had the veterans, the veteran that we FaceTimed. And so now the teachers are sort of coming out of the woodwork and saying, hey, you know, we want to do something cool too. You know, what can you do for our students? And so it's really been it's really been an icebreaker, the project.
Yeah, I love that. And I like how you were talking about, you know, when you're introducing something like Skype to your school, that maybe you started on a small scale and then get into, you know, larger implementation. And I think that that's probably the way that most districts should approach it. But I don't know, I'm a really big advocate for not blocking this stuff, especially for teachers. I can understand for students, you know, it's a slippery slope. But for your teachers, I mean, you have to assume that they're going to be doing the right thing. And I don't know, I'm a really big advocate for not blocking things in school.
Well, you know, and that's not something that's my choice. You know, we do have a filter at our school, and Skype was something that, you know, a couple of years ago, it was, you know, absolutely not. And then last year, I don't know, I guess the discussion sort of opened up and I already had Skype and, downloaded on my computer. And I did ask, you know, I did ask if it was okay. And then, as long as it was, you know, sort of, we, you know, launching it on a small scale, I think that then it was, you know, once we could see how it worked, then I think things can sort of progress from there. We'll be able to open it up a little broader. But I do know what you're saying about, you know, giving teachers the benefit of the doubt.
Right, right. So, I think those are some really great ideas. I mean, even the things that you were talking about Skyping with the veterans, I mean, I think people can really pick up a lot from this. So I really thank you for that. If someone is interested in participating in the Global Read Aloud, where would you recommend that they go for more information?
Well, there is globalreadaloud.wikispaces.com, and there is also globalreadaloud.com. And either one of those places, you can sign up. You can put your email in and be on the listserv for next year. I believe that they release the books sometime in the spring. And so you can go ahead and start preparing. But it was so easy. It really was. It was, I'm so grateful that Karen reached out to me and brought it to my attention. And I'm so grateful for Miss Miller, who was, you know, willing to give it a try. Without that, it never would have happened in our school. But go ahead and go to globalreadaloud.com. You put your name in and your email, and you can, you know, stay abreast of the Global Read Aloud 2014.
Yeah, that is great. I think that it is just such an amazing opportunity for our students, and I really hope that some of the listeners will join in for this next fall. If people have specific questions for you, Sedley, how can they contact you? Do you have a Twitter? Anything else that you would like to share with the listeners?
I have a Twitter. I'm at Sedley1. It's Sedley, number one. And that would probably be the best way. My email is, you know, 50 characters long. So that would be the best way to reach me on Twitter.
Well, I will have that information in the show notes, as well as all of the other links that were mentioned throughout the podcast. And so is there anything else that you wanted to share today?
No, I think that's great. If you know, if you're scared about the Global Read Aloud, don't be. It was something that once we joined up, it was just it was easy from there. It really was, and there are so many willing people out there to work with. So you know, think of those global connections and global awareness, and not to mention, you get to read a really great book. So
exactly.
please think about doing the Global Read Aloud next year.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate you so much.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And to my listeners, just remember that the Elementary Librarian Black Friday sale is coming up. So be sure to check your emails during the week of Thanksgiving. If you are on my list with a school email that you will not be able to check, I do have an option for you to join a special Black Friday sale only list. And that list will be deleted after the Black Friday sale. So if you want to add a personal email on there, you will be sure to get all of the updates on the sale. Also, I am working on an entire year of sixth grade lesson plans right now. This is something that a lot of people have requested, and so I'm working on that, and I'm hoping to have it done very soon. So be on the lookout for information about that. As always, I appreciate you guys so much. Keep your feedback coming, keep the podcast guest recommendations coming, and I hope that you have a great day.
For listening to the Elementary Librarian Podcast, brought to you by ElementaryLibrarian.com.